Today, a toddler's fascination with a children's book leads to a dive into the history of artificial body parts, including the story of a German rebel knight and his iron hand. It's the history of prosthetics on English Through History. But first, if you like today's episode, subscribe and leave a review since it helps us create future content. Fans of the channel might know that I usually cover Americana, but today we're doing something a bit different, and I have a quick story about what led me down this road. You see, my two-year-old daughter loves alligators for some reason. Now, one day, she saw the crocodile in a Peter Pan picture book, and from that day forward, she was obsessed with the scene where the crocodile eats Captain Hook. And I've had to relive the captain's grim fate over and over again. Well, that got me thinking, did pirates really have hooks for hands and peg legs for, well, legs? So I decided to find out. Now, the short answer, because we don't like to tug you around here at English Through History, is that some probably did, but not nearly as many as the movies make you think. A few sources have mentioned a high probability of limb-endangering accidents on board pirate ships, but I haven't read anything that convinced me that hook-handed peg-leg pirates were common. I did, however, discover that the history of artificial body parts, or prostheses, is a lot more interesting than you might realize. Now, actually, prostheses have been around for millennia. We can even see stories of artificial body parts in mythology. For example, Irish mythology tells the story of Nuada Argatlav, or Nuada of the Silver Hand, whose hand was cut off in battle and replaced with one made of silver. Or there's the Aztec god Tezcatlipoca, who lost his foot in a fight with a toad monster called Tlaltecutli, and he replaced it with a piece of obsidian. Or in some versions of the story, it's a snake or something. But things like this just weren't fantasy in ancient times. In fact, the oldest recorded prosthesis goes back to around 2900 BC. In the ruins of the ancient city of Saharsuchta, archaeologists discovered an ancient fake eye. It was made of bitumen, which is kind of like asphalt from what I understand, and covered in a thin layer of gold. Now, technically, a fake eye is a prosthesis, but you're probably thinking more along the lines of a limb, something like an arm or a leg. Well, how about a toe? Because the oldest recorded prostheses after the Saharsuchta eye are both toes, and both from Egypt. It makes you wonder what was happening in ancient Egypt that everyone was losing toes. Well, actually, experts suggest that this was a time in human history where our craftsmanship had made basic prostheses possible, and of course we would have to start with something small, like a toe, before something larger, like an arm, was possible. Also, some people suggest that the big toe was necessary to wear sandals, which, as you can imagine, was an important thing at that time. Now, by the way, the two toes are a bit different. One of them is called the Greville Chester toe, and that was made of something similar to paper mache. Don't ask me how it survived for this long. And this was made from around 1295 to 664 BC. The other toe, called the Cairo toe, was made around from between 1069 to 664 BC. For the daughter of a high-level priest, and this was made of wood. By the way, there is a little bit of confusion about these two toes. According to Smithsonian's website, they're the same thing. They're the same toe. But they based their article on another article from Gizmodo, the author of whom, it seems, misread an article by Live Science, which states that there are clearly two different items. So it just goes to show you how sometimes you have to double-check your sources. Now, after the Egyptian toes, we have a handful of different kinds of prostheses from the distant past. But In the interest of time, I'll just touch on a few notable examples. One of the earliest written mentions of a prosthetic limb comes from the Roman historian Pliny the Elder. He talks of a general named Marcus Sergius Silus, who lived around 215 BC and apparently lost a hand in battle. He then had it replaced with one made of metal, which somehow was useful enough to help him fight in battle. Now, we don't really know whatever happened to his hand, but we do have a prosthetic from ancient Rome, which is called the Capua leg. Well, we did have it for a while. It was actually kept in London, but it got destroyed by a German bombing during World War II by the Luftwaffe. But in any case, the Capua leg was made of bronze with a wooden interior, a wooden core, and people think that it was made by armorers rather than by doctors or physicians. And that was the general case for prosthetic limbs well through the 1500s and medieval times. They were made by armorers, and usually for soldiers. And that sounds like the stuff of high fantasy, right? A knight gets his hand chopped off in battle, so he goes to a master armorer who makes him a new hand of metal. Except you have to move the joints and fingers with your other hand. A journal article written in 1925 in Volume 9 of the journal Musculoskeletal Surgery by someone named V. Pudi details several instances of metal hands produced in Europe around this time. And they look pretty impressive, just like you would expect a metal arm or hand to look. But they didn't work as well as Ash's hand from the Evil Dead movies. They still make for some fun stories, though, like that of a man named Gertz of the Iron Hand. So Gertz von Berlichingen was a German mercenary in the 16th century who somehow lost his hand to a cannonball attack, then replaced it with a hand made of metal. Now, with this hand, he continued to lead rebel armies, fight the Ottoman Empire, and more until he died a peaceful death of old age. Now, if that sounds like a life made for movies, well, the famous German writer Johann Wolfgang von Goethe agreed. He wrote a play based on Berlichingen's life. I've also found some mention of pirates from this time with both hooks for hands and peg legs. Such names include Cornelius Joel, Francois Leclerc, I guess just those two. But I haven't found much documentation that really convinced me of their factualness, so we'll have to put this down as a maybe. Also around this time was the famed astronomer Tycho Brahe, who, on a day when he wasn't studying the stars or killing elk by getting them drunk on beer, maybe we'll cover that story another day, he got in a duel with a Danish nobleman over who was the better mathematician and lost his nose in the fight. He then got it replaced with one of silver, and that is technically a prosthesis. Now, over the next few hundred years, some advancements were made with prostheses. Physicians like Amois Paris and Pieter Verdun invented ways to implement straps, hinges, and more to make artificial body parts more functional. And then, in the 18th century, was Blas de Lejo. Now, Lejo was a Spanish naval officer who played an important role in the Battle of Cartagena de Indias, and who, long before that, had lost his leg, one eye, and the use of one arm. Now, any likeness that I've seen of Lejo doesn't reveal a prosthetic eye or hand, but he definitely had a peg leg. And apparently, none of these disadvantages held him back much. Talk about having a positive attitude. Anyway, Lejo wasn't exactly a pirate. He sailed on a ship, he fought, and he had a peg leg, so I think that's close enough to what we need. You might have noticed that most of the people we've talked about have something in common. They were all fighters of some kind, and one of the biggest reasons for advancement in prosthetics was war. That's why events like the Civil War, the World Wars, and the Vietnam War saw further advancements in prosthetic technology. In particular, World War II saw the establishment of a government program for artificial limb research that greatly helped promote research and advancements into the field of prosthetics. But what's more, the appearance of new materials like plastic made it even more possible for prosthetics to advance. So at this point, advancements in prosthetics started to become almost exponential in growth, as is the case with technology, and charting all the advancements would take much more than we have time for. Why, it seems like just yesterday I felt surprise at seeing an athlete run on a blade-type prosthesis for the first time. And who knows, maybe it won't be long until prostheses are superior to our own limbs and might even be rivals for the silver and obsidian limbs of the gods of old. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you next time.